I'm going to just go through two stories in the Bible that the Lord laid upon my heart. And from these two stories, I'm going to deduce some exhortation. Amen? What does the Lord really want us to know? It's to be said like this. Do we want to do the Father's will, or do we want to do our own will? Do we want to do the Father's will, or do we want to do our own will? Let's look at two stories in the Bible. You may wonder that, how can this story really touch on this? Let's go to the book of Jonah. If any of you is not familiar with this story of Jonah, I will recommend that you read it through. I want to talk about doing the Father's will, doing the will of the Lord himself. And what is the Father's will? And that's what we are going to emphasize. That's what we're actually going to emphasize in this story. What is the Father's will? We all want to go in the rapture. Any of us that know about the rapture, we know that Christ is coming and is going to take us away in the rapture. But to go in the rapture, we must be ready to do the Father's will. The will of the Father God is what I'm talking about now. Here's an example of a prophet that the Father's will, that is the will of God, just conflicted with his own will. And that is all we are challenging ourselves to think about. You're going to look at yourself. You will see that most of my sermons have been deep inward search. We're going to search ourselves internally and see whether we want to do our own will or the will of the Father, that is the will of God. Here is Jonah. You know the story if you have been very familiar with the Bible. Jonah was a prophet, and God told him to go to a city called Nineveh and go preach. In fact, he said, just go and tell them that in 40 days, this city will be destroyed. That looked like a prophecy of doom upon Nineveh. But you see, the will of the Father conflicted with the will of Jonah. What did Jonah want? We're going to actually dig deep into this. What was in the mind of Jonah is try to find it out. What was in his mind? Maybe Jonah was one of the prophets that wanted that, hey, if I say that this is going to happen, it must happen. And I want it to happen so that what? I can be exalted. That is the prophet that said it and it happened. That would be what? Self. If he wanted to glorify himself, then if God will not do what he prophesied, that will be kind of a shame to him also. So what was in the mind of Jonah? Could that be the problem with Jonah? Could that be the problem of Jonah? He wanted that if he has to go to that city, Nineveh, and prophesy, it better happen. Maybe that was his problem. But see, what was the Father's will? What is the purpose of prophesying? God wanted all men to repent. That is the purpose of God. He wanted all men to repent. Even though he warned them that he was going to destroy them in 40 days, but if they repented, that is the will of the Father. The Father's will is that if they repented, God will change his mind. But Jonah didn't want that. So what are we trying to draw out of this problem, or out of this exhortation? The will of the Father may conflict with your own will. Whom will you serve? Amen? Whom do you want to serve? Yourself or the Father God? You have to think about it. Now, it's very easy for us to say, oh, I will serve the Father God. Oh, I want to serve the Father God. Oh, I want to serve the Father God. But we are going to bring it down to our level in a moment. Because when we say the Father's will, it's going to be some of those things that the flesh just rouses up against what the Father is suggesting or saying. God never suggests. God gives instruction and commands. So the problem is, when the flesh rises against it, that is where you have to choose. Am I going to do my Father's will? Or am I going to do my own will? So let's just read some few verses in the story of Jonah here. And now then I'll go to the story of the other person. One that didn't do the Father's will, and the other one that did the Father's will. Even though it hurts. And that's what we are going to compare. And then bring it down to our own level. and compare how we want to serve God. And because when we serve Him, there is blessing when we surrender to the Father. There is blessing in it. But it's hard for our flesh to surrender. And that is why we are called to be Christians, people that have chosen to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to be like Him. And we have to also look at His own example, how He surrendered all to the will of the Father. Amen? Verse 3, verse chapter 1, verse 3 said, actually from verse 2, book of Jonah, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Verse 3 said, and Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So in short, Jonah went the opposite direction because he did not want to go to that city. And let's see the last verse, the last chapter of Jonah, where he actually told us why he fled. Look from chapter 3, verse 7 and verse 8. After Jonah finally got to that city, we all know, if you don't know the story, go and read the story yourself. He fled and God didn't allow him to run because he was in a boat that in the end he has to be casted into the sea and a fish caught him. You know the story of Jonah, that this is the man that was caught in the mouth of a whale. But in the end, God delivered him from the whale, from the mouth of that fish, and he had to go anyway. When he went to that city, they repented. And here is what we are reading in verse 7. Even the king of Nineveh himself repented and proclaimed that everybody in the city must repent. From chapter 3, verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put it on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Let me jump to verse 10. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did not. But chapter 4, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Well, that is what we are trying to talk about. Jonah was very angry because his will conflicted with the Father's will. The Father's will was for people to repent, and his own will was that, they should be destroyed. And when God didn't destroy them, Jonah was angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my sin when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. So this is the story of Jonah. What I'm trying to draw out of this story is, is your will conflicting with the Father's will? In many situations, it does conflict. In many occasions, your will does conflict with the Father's will. Now you just have to decide, whom are you going to serve? Am I going to serve myself? Am I going to serve the Lord? Now, before I go to the next story, I'm going to point some of the examples of how your will could be conflicting with the Father's will in many respects. Open to me 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I will read verse 3 there. I say, is my will occasionally conflicting with the Father's will? Here is an example. I said, I'm going to bring it down to our own level so that you can see what we are talking about when we say, I will do the Father's will. But when it comes to the rubber meets the road, are you going to do the Father's will or your will? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Young people, look at that verse and said, that is the Father's will. There will be an occasion like that where you are confronted with the word of God, and the word of God says, this is the Father's will for you, that you should abstain from fornication. Now, are you going to, and there's a thought that says, I just wanted to do what everybody else is doing. Are you going to do your flesh that wants to do fornication, or you are going to do the Father's will? This is the Father's will. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. So you can bring it back to your level and think of that and say, Lord, in many occasions when the flesh is rising up against the will of the Father, then you choose to obey the Father. That is when you are doing the Father's will. It comes down to that. And there's another example. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. Here the Apostle Paul was telling us that it is part of the will of the Lord that we may have to suffer for Christ. He wrote it that way, that it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Now, that is the Father's will, that if we suffer with him, we will reign with him. But there will be an occasion when the suffering is trying to come. Maybe witness to somebody. You are expected to witness to this fellow, but you feel in your flesh, the flesh rises up, that they may laugh at me. And that kind of make you be intimidated. Well, that is your self will. You are thinking of self now. You are thinking of yourself. Compared to the Father's will, that say witness to this fellow. That is where you have to now draw the line. Am I serving myself or am I serving the Father? It's just in those situations that you have to begin to say, the Father's will is what I must do. So when we say Jonah's case is, you can say it's on a large scale. Well, go and preach to this city. And he said, no, I'm not going to preach. I want them to be destroyed. That looks like a large scale. Your own self-will may just be on a small scale. Self-will may be on a small scale. Like we just talked about fornication. Everybody is having boyfriend, girlfriend in the schools, young people. And your flesh wanted to do the same thing, but the Father's will says, no, this is the Father's will. That you should think of sanctification. And the same way, witness to this somebody. And in your mind, you wanted to witness, but that is the Father's will, but your flesh is saying, they're going to laugh at me. That is your will, your self-will, that is talking about self, how you could feel concerning this situation. It's conflicting with the Father's will. So we can talk on and on. I will come back to that in a few. I'm just bringing it to our level. But before we go any further, let's talk about the second story of somebody that really did something that we can say is the Father's will. You say, well, where is that story in the Bible? Let's go to the book of Esther. It's going to be very short. Let's go to the book of Esther. If you are not familiar with the story of this woman called Esther, a queen, but how she became a queen is what we are going to talk about. The book of Esther, chapter 2 is what I'm going to point to. This is the story of a Jewish lady that she has already lost her parents, but her uncle made, you know, just adopted her and raised her up, and she was pretty. Now, we say the Father's will. That uncle called Mordecai became more like her father. That's the man she knew. So when we say the Father's will, sometimes we think of God's will is all that is written. It's all that's written down here. That's true. But you see, God's will come to us sometime through authority over you. And we're going to go to that in a moment, because when we say the Father's will, even when you are in your place of work, what is the Father's will? And what is your own will? Your Father's will, the Father's will, which is the scripture that may say you are to be subject to the authority. And your boss just gave you some instruction, and your flesh reacts. Well, that is where the conflict between your self-will and the Father's will also can come into play. And you have to now say, am I going to do the Father's will? Am I going to do my will? So it's in every aspect of our life we're going to be looking at what is the Father's will in this situation. Now let's go back to the story of Esther. Now Esther was, according to the story in chapter 2, when the king has already told that they should bring young women that are going to be like a beauty pageant, the king was going to select one of them. But what I want you to consider in this story is this. Do you realize that Esther was sacrificing herself in that story? To participate in this beauty pageant, it was a serious self-sacrifice. Esther was not a girl that her Mordecai just told her, go do it. No. Mordecai will have to sit down with her. She probably should be, maybe Esther was 25 years old or something like that. And Mordecai will have to sit down with her and tell her, we're going to do this. There's a beauty pageant. If you win, you become the queen. Well, that looks nice, but suppose she loses. She's going to become what? Prostitute. They are prostitutes for the king. Concubines, they call them. If she loses, that's what will be the end of her. Concubine. And they may never see the king anymore. And the servants of the king just mess around with those concubines in the houses of the women, they call them. But why will she sacrifice her reputation? And these are religious people. Think about it that way, that she has to sacrifice. It's like a sacrifice. But what is she going to gain? You may say maybe Mordecai had an inner motive. If you become the queen, who knows? You might save the whole of the Jewish nation. Well, God put that in Mordecai's heart. You have to know that it was God that put it in his heart. But for Mordecai to suggest it and talk to her about it, and for her to succumb to this scandalous. You know what it means to say, we're going, and she told her, don't tell anybody, because we can't even announce among the Jews. Everybody among the Jews know that this is sinful. To go and participate in this, it's like when you know that, well, if you go to send your daughter into something like that, which Christian can do that? How much more Jews? So they know this is scandalous. So she said, but don't tell anybody. Don't even tell your friends. Don't tell anybody. We're going to do this secretly. That was what Mordecai told her. For her to surrender to that is succumbing to something that is scandalous. What will Mordecai tell the people? Oh, where is Esther? Oh, she, for 1 year to 6 months with this, 6 months, before she even go to, before the king. For 1 year, she has gone to live with her aunt somewhere. She has to be covering it up. She said, don't tell anybody that we're going to do this. So you can see for Esther to submit to that, to this, what you call beauty contest, is scandalous and is completely, what you say, immoral, perhaps immoral. But somehow God put it upon the heart of Mordecai to make it, to for them to go after this. So it's a self-sacrifice because the Father's will. And that is what you are going to see, a type of Christ here. Because Christ has to give up the throne and come and sacrifice himself for us, for mankind. So when we say the Father's will, sometimes it may be something that is demanding from you, maybe hurtful. It may be hurtful, but are you going to serve yourself or you are serving the Lord? Are you serving yourself or you are serving the Lord? Because this is why he said we are to present ourselves as a living sacrifice unto God. It's living sacrifice. Even we that are believers, you are commanded, God is calling on you and me to present your body as a living sacrifice unto God. So this is an example of a woman that was able to do it. She said she agreed with Mordecai to go into that beauty pageant, which could be scandalous if they found out that one of our own Jewish people went into that type of something. If she didn't win, she's going to be just one of the prostitutes for the king. How can you do that for your daughter, for your stepdaughter? But God put it in Mordecai's heart. That's what we can only rest upon, that Mordecai is not just trying to become rich. That is, Mordecai was not trying to become the somebody of a queen. But somehow, God has put it in his heart that this thing will work out. And if she becomes queen, we know what we can be. We have somebody at the throne right there that can help us as Jews. But suppose it did not work out. So that is what I said, Esther was self-sacrificing. And that is what God is calling everybody to self-sacrifice. Your own may not be to do this kind of a thing, but whatever it is, talk to this fellow It's a self-sacrifice because you are going to lay your ego on the line. They might laugh at me. All my friends are looking at me. They are thinking, oh, this Jesus freak is here. And you are kind of shy to even open your mouth to talk to somebody about Jesus. That is, you are considering yourself more important than obeying the Lord. That is what it is. You are more important than obeying the Lord. It's self-sacrifice. I just bring that example. In every step of the way we are talking about, are you ready to serve the Lord or are you ready to serve yourself? It's what we are saying. Now let's go further to this story of Esther. We know the rest of the story. She won. She became queen. Praise God, she now is queen. But that's not the end of the story. Here comes the final test. Is she serving herself? Or is she serving the Lord? Amen? Are you going with me, or am I too fast for you? Or my accent is too deep for some of you? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, let's see the last part of the story. Esther chapter 4. Here comes the final part of this test. Are you serving yourself or you want to serve the Lord? Self-sacrifice is what God is calling everybody onto. There was an enemy of the Jews by the name of Haman that for some reason he found out that Mordecai was one of the servants at the gate, would not bow down to him, and he hated him. And he said, who is that man? He said, oh, he's religion and he's Jew. His religion said they shouldn't bow to anybody. And this Haman said, I'm just going to have to wipe out all Jews. And he planned to wipe them out from all the kingdom. Go and read the whole story of Esther. You know the whole story. And now he wrote an edict. And the king signed it. Tricked the king to sign it. And the king signed it that all the Jews in all the lands where this king was ruling should just, one day, they should wipe them all out. Destroy them and take all their goods. When the thing was announced and posted everywhere, the Jews were all in tears. And Mordecai was in tears. And now the queen has not told anybody that she was Jewish. She was in the palace. That was Queen Esther. Mordecai finally got word to the queen that this is what is going on. They are going to kill all of us for the reason nobody knows why. And Mordecai was asking the queen to go and plead with the king for us. Go to the king and plead for us. And the queen said, gee, I can't do that. The king has not called me. I can't even go in there. There's a Lord. I say nobody should come in. And there are many excuses. And this is where we are going to read how this woman finally did. She was ready to sacrifice herself one more time. Amen. Chapter 4, verse 15. If you don't know the story, just read the whole story. You'll see the sacrificial lamb here. But when you are ready to lay your life down for Jesus, that is when the Lord also will lay his power down for you. That's all we have been talking. We want to be like Jesus. But we are going to see the Lord himself lay his life down when it's going to hurt. He said, but not my will, but the Lord's will be done. So that is what he is calling you and me to be able to do. But you have to start with the little ones, the small little steps. When you have your father's will conflicting with your own will. And that is what we are seeing. The father's will is all these scriptures in the Bible. It will always conflict with our will. Why? Because we are flesh. But he is God. He sees the big picture. We don't see the big picture. So when he's asking you to do this, or this is how you should do something, you don't see the big picture, but you see how it's going to hurt you. Yeah, it's going to hurt you. But if the father says so, are you willing to surrender to it? That is what we are talking about. Now, here is the story of Mordecai has told the woman, has told Esther, go and talk to the king for us. And she sent back a letter to Mordecai and said, gee, I can't go to the king. There is a law that says nobody can come to the king unless the king called for you. And for 30 days, the king has not called for me. And Mordecai sent word back to her. Here is the letter, chapter 4 of Esther. Here is the word of Mordecai, verse 13. Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the rest of the Jews. So if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. Say, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knows whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. So Mordecai was just reminding her that, don't forget that you are also a Jew. Well, you are in the next to the king right there, and you are not going to take up the challenge to lay down your life for us and go meet the king. They said, well, you can't come in. You'll let the king ask you. Go and do whatever you have to do. And he must just challenge Esther. And this is the sacrifice Esther has to now make. The king could cut her head off, because in those days, it doesn't matter whether she's queen or not. This is what Esther finally said in verse 15. Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me. He said, fast for me. Neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. Amen? Well, that's where we're going to. He said, if I perish, I perish. Amen. Think about it. I want to think deep. When you are ready to lay down all your life, that is when you are saying, then you are willing to do the Father's will. Many of us are just self-willed. And our self-will is conflicting with the Father's will, with the Lord's will. That is always our problem. But for us to be like Christ, we must kill self. In fact, that is the total of this story is die to yourself. Now, praise the Lord. This is Brother Julius Adewumi inviting you to accept the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you are a Christian that has been listening to this radio broadcast, I challenge you and I urge you to aspire to the goal of overcomers. Be zealous for more of God. Ask the Lord to increase your faith, to build you up spiritually, and pray for the gifts of the Holy Ghost to increase and intensify in you, so that you can come to the stature, to the fullness of the stature of Christ. That is our goal as believers. Now, if you that is listening to me, you are not a Christian, or you are just a church member, you are a church goer trying to do good, but you are not really born again, you don't even know what it means to be born again, you are not sure whether you have been washed from your sins, I invite you to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior today. And I want to pray for you right now, so that you can be assured of your salvation, and so that your heart and your faith and your spirit can begin to believe the Word of God. The Word of God specifically says, anyone that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ has eternal life. You have got to believe that utterance of Jesus, and then invite Jesus to come out, take over your life, because he gives a power into the believers that he call being born again. And it is this power that rejuvenates us from within, that makes us to be a new creature in Christ. The Bible said, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Gospel of John chapter 1 verse 12. This is Evangelist Julius Adewumi. Give your life today to the Lord Jesus Christ and be filled with the Holy Ghost. I pray, Lord, that you touch all the people that are listening, help them to understand and to follow thee and read the Bible in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Write to me and we shall send you some exhortation. Our address has changed. The new address is Gospel Distribution Ministry, Post Office Box 71027, Phoenix, Arizona 85050. Again, our new address is Gospel Distribution Ministry, Post Office Box 71027, Phoenix, Arizona 85050, USA. On the internet, www.gospeldistribution.org. Send us email on the internet to the webmaster at gospeldistribution.org. Thank you.